everybody, and welcome to a brand new installment of Nintendo World Report at Night for Tuesday, June 7th, 2016. I'm your host, Alexander Kaloffi, joined by my loyal producer, one Donald Terrio.
You know, I think the main reason we're doing this on Tuesday is just so we can get out of the way of the rest of the E3 hype train that's going to barrel for the next 5 days.
The thing is, I bet there are going to be more game announcements in the coming days that this show will not reflect. And that smirk / light chuckle you just heard came from the other person on this podcast, Zachary Miller.
Why, hello, everybody.
Gold Mega Man and regular Mega Man.
Yes.
You're going to be the guy I'm talking to when we talk about Mega Man later, aren't you?
Yes, you are. I am.
Fantastic. So, on this show today, we have a few things to talk about. We are going to be starting with some of the E3 announcements / leaks that are obviously real over the last few days. We're going to follow that up with some light XSEED discussion, so it's basic, which is kind of part of E3. We're going to talk about Nintendo Direct predictions again, because why not, briefly? And then we got some what we've been playing to close off the show, which includes me playing Mega Man 1, 2, 3 for the first time, Zero Escape Series replay on Donald's end, and Odin Sphere remake for Zachary Miller. My fan is not on, it is very hot in Boston, and I have a lamp above me right now to keep the lighting good, so this might be the first episode of the year in which I am profusely sweating by the end of this show. So get ready, everybody. But first, let's talk about E3 stuff. We got the Persona 5 news came out today. Well, first off, the Persona 5 like E3 badge for attendees came out like yesterday that revealed that there will be a demo of the game. But today, via press release, it was announced that Persona 5 is coming out on PS4 and PS3 on Valentine's Day 2017, a delay, but also that the Collector's Edition will be coming to North America and a Steelbook Edition. The Steelbook Edition is just regular price, but comes with the Steelbook. And then the Collector's Edition has a soundtrack CD, a plushie of Morgana, which is basically the Teddy stand-in, the cat. There's also a hardcover art book. There's a Japanese school bag. There's a cool box that, like, houses all of this. And I think that's it, Donald?
Yeah, pretty much. And, of course, and unlike some other limited editions I can name, they actually include a copy of the game for PS4 as well.
Oh, the Steelbook. Wasn't it the Wolfenstein that was like $250 and didn't actually come with a copy of the game?
I think so, and I think Mirror's Edge Catalyst actually did the same thing just today with its limited edition.
That is ridiculous. And then, this is more applicable to Donald, the PlayStation 3 version is $50 to the PlayStation 4 version is $60. Oh, and the Steelbook also comes with the Collector's Edition. Now, Donald, you were telling me just before we started the show that, in fact, you will be getting the PlayStation 3 version of
this
game.
Right, because that way I don't... Because it's going to the base price for that PS3 version is going to be $60 here, but I'll be able to get it for cheaper, and I won't have to drop $400 on a new system to play a game that will presumably play at a similar level of quality to what the PS4 players are getting. That, and hey, I own the GameCube version of Twilight Princess. I might as well go with the older console version all the time anyway.
Well, let me ask you this, and Zach is one of our friends who was quote-unquote late to the PlayStation 4. Like, he got one, like, I think a year and a half later.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
I got it with Bloodborne.
Yeah. Right. And why don't you join sort of the Zach train of getting a PlayStation 4 now? I mean, you can wait and see what the Neo's all about, but are you, like, considering a PS4 at all?
Once the price needs to go down a fair bit, because honestly, most of my money is going toward games on systems that I already own, and since Persona 5 is now a early 2017 game, there's a little bit more important system that we're pretty sure is coming out in about the same time frame in 2017 that...
What could that be?
the PlayStation Neo.
Oh, of course. Of course, yes.
So, let's just say that my console money is pretty much spoken for the foreseeable future, unless stranger things have happened. I might stumble into some cash or win something, because God knows either.
I mean, to be completely honest, if I had waited to buy my PS4 until, 2 months ago, I would have been fine. I think Ratchet & Clank was the first must-have game on that system. Everything else is on Steam. Not that I play Steam games, but the PS4 does not have a lot of exclusives that I want to play.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I might have gone for was the Valkyria Chronicles HD, except, I got that on Steam for $5 a couple of months ago.
There you go.
It may not even run on this computer, but I have it.
Zach, out of curiosity, whatever happened with you and Persona 4?
I play it on airplanes. Still.
Oh, so...
I still play it on airplanes.
So you're still in the process.
Chip away at it for a couple hours every few months.
Where are you at on Persona 4?
Like, where in the story?
But what time of year are you, if you recall?
Or, which character are you getting? Because I'm guessing you might not have the full party yet.
No, I rescued a chick.
Was it the black-haired chick?
Yes.
Did you do, one real dungeon?
Sure. I seem to have done many floors of a dungeon.
But you've only done one dungeon so far, and
just keep going back to the same place, different floors of the same place?
You're thinking of...
No, that's Persona 3.
Yeah, that's an older game.
It's different dungeons every single time. The visuals are very different, although, the dungeon itself... I mean, it's roguelike-y in some very specific minor ways.
Okay.
So the dungeons are going to continue to be simple, but they'll be visually different, and they'll have different monsters.
Okay, I have not gotten to a visually different dungeon yet, no.
Okay, so you're still probably in the first few hours. You gotta do, you just did the hardest dungeon in the game, in my opinion.
For real?
Yeah.
And I was over-leveled to shit. I kicked that dungeon's ass.
You're gonna have the next dungeon, which is actually, that's the dungeon when you realize that the story actually has interesting places to go.
Okay.
And then after that, Persona 4 generally gets absolutely fantastic.
Oh, maybe I'll start playing it on the daily to get to that point.
So there's Persona. Injustice. I bought the collector's edition, the $80 one. I am extremely excited.
With the terrible looking statue.
Yeah. No, there's no statue
in Injustice 1.
He said he went to a Persona there that he's getting the $80.
Oh, I thought he said Injustice. Sorry.
No, I think I might have said Injustice briefly, but
we'll get to that.
Just saying.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting the collector's edition. It is the game I've been most excited for.
It's a sweet looking collector's edition, I got to tell you.
Yeah, it's the biggest box Atlas has ever put out for a collector's edition, which is actually saying something.
Yeah, apparently the Odin Sphere one is the size of 8 normal games, if Jeremy Parrish is to be believed.
Right.
Doesn't Sharp FE get a huge friggin' box too?
Decent size, but not. It's not too big. I think most of the stuff in that is digital anyway.
Oh, well, screw it.
Yeah.
Today, Injustice 2 leaked, but Injustice 2 leaked following, a series of kind of hilarious teases from Ed Boon, who's the Mortal Kombat and Injustice guy, basically since the very beginning. Injustice 2, it was a GameStop promo that this leaked out of. It shows Batman with this kryptonite-looking armor, and then it shows a very cool-looking version of the Flash. Injustice 1, I played on Vita, kind of like Mortal Kombat 9, but a slightly more bare-bones version of it.
Yeah.
The story was fantastic. The story is the kind of DC story that I really get into, which is the Flashpoint style DC, where everything's aggressively dark.
It's the Justice Lords. I mean, they've done that storyline 100 times. But yeah, I reviewed it for Wii U. I like the game. It's simplistic enough that you can do everyone's moves pretty easily, and it's got the cool environmental stuff, and some of the character designs are really spectacularly awful, but when they work, they work.
Yeah.
I just want Power Girl in this new one.
We will see if this game comes
given out. That my lack of care for comic books is almost legendary at this point, I just want the DC Universe Arrow, or the DC Television Universe Arrow, and then I want his arch-rival from SummerSlam last year to be a hidden character, since he's now a free agent.
Oh. BT Dubs, the Injustice... There is an Injustice comic series that is entering its, like, third year now. I haven't read it, but...
Yeah, it seems like it might be this story, but, like, it goes past it.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I was on 4chan reading up on this today, and it seemed like they were talking about the comic, and that might have been something I read, but I could be wrong. If there's anyone in the chat who knows this stuff, they'll surely correct me, and I will see it. Also, Watch Dogs leaked properly today. There was a teaser for Watch Dogs 2 yesterday, I think.
Yeah, and...
But today...
Yesterday there was an ad from IGN that sort of revealed the release date, November 15th, and the setting, San Francisco.
Yeah. It's no longer Aiden Pierce. It's a black dude now, and it is San Francisco. The San Francisco, and I would say even the black dude too, are probably a response to the aggressively negative reception to Aiden Pierce and how quote-unquote boring it is. And because San Francisco seems like it's the current epicenter of video game culture and video
movies.
game and
tech culture as well, because you've got Silicon Valley just a short drive away.
Right. So it seems... This definitely seems like a decision that was made in a boardroom and not necessarily by a creative team.
An Ubisoft
team,
game made in a boardroom?
Sure.
I'm shocked.
Well, Star Wars was made in a boardroom, and that didn't turn out horrible. This most recent one, at least.
Maybe towards the end of one of these Watchdog games, it'll turn out he's like a future assassin, and they conduct their assassinations digitally, and it'll all tie together.
Nintendon Don Koopman brings up the negative reception to Aiden Pierce and his iconic baseball cap, which is, of course, Jim Sterling's famous rant, where he rails on the phrase iconic being used for a game that hadn't actually even been released
so
yet.
So I look forward to finding out about the 29 different limited editions that this game is going to have.
Yes!
And Monday, we'll be covering the Ubisoft press conference. I'm mainly doing it because I want to see where Just Dance ends up. But if they use the word...
BG&E 2. That's going to be there.
That's not happening, Zach. Give it up.
Don't crush my dreams.
What's happening?
Beyond
What's
Good
not
and
happening?
Evil 2.
Oh!
Which the rumors were, and it was an NX game in the same way that Bayonetta 2 is a Wii U game.
I don't believe that for a split second.
Ubisoft is going to have some good stuff. They're going to have Watch Dogs 2, which we'll see if it's good. I actually liked Watch Dogs 1. They're going to have Watch Dogs 2. They're going to have For Honor, which seemed crazy cool when they showed it off a couple years ago. They're going to have Wildlands. They're going to have South Park Fractured Butthole. And then they're going to have the...
they're going to have Watch Dogs.
Not Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, they'll have the new... They're having a new IP, apparently, which might be VR. And unfortunately, they also have Aisha Tyler dropping references to Dat Boy.
Oh, has she already done that?
No, but after last year, I wouldn't put it past her.
But she's going to do it slightly wrong, too. She's going to call it Dat Boy.
Yeah. Man, they need to bring back Joel McHale.
It's Dat Boy! Oh, man!
He's just pretentious enough for the Ubisoft conferences.
Oh boy, what's up? Anyways, what else do we have? I'm already super sweaty. Like, I'm looking
You're
at
listening.
Like, I am glistening right now. It's going to get bad in 15 minutes.
It almost looks like you're wearing a sweater right now, so that was probably a bad choice.
Yeah, this is just a t-shirt, but it's as if I wore a sweater. So, anyways, we talked about Watch Dogs 2, and then the last two things were Agents of Mayhem, which looks like it's Volition, published by Deep Silver. It's the Saints Row people. Agents of Mayhem, third-person, cooperative, open-world-looking game. Looks like a fusion between Saints Row and Fuse, which was that super bad EA game from a couple years ago that was focus tested to death. Insomniac. Well, it was Insomniac and EA.
Right, right. Insomniac developed, though.
Yeah, and apparently Insomniac was so infuriated by the focus testing of that game, they went to GameStop, of all people, for their next game that they're having independently published.
Insomniac's been doing some weird stuff. They got Fuse, they got that weird 2D game that GameStop is publishing physically, and then they also got that VR game which just had got reviews that came out for it, and it was pretty positive. It seems like it's like a 4-hour survival horror type third person game.
Yeah, I think they really lost out on Sunset Overdrive, so they needed a hit. Thankfully they had Ratchet and Clank this year, so that did quite well for them. So hopefully that'll let them bounce back when this VR game inevitably bombs.
Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, Dead Rising 4, which leaked. It's gonna be Capcom, obviously. I think that's probably the 2 million game they speculated, the 4 million game coming up this 4 million seller game they speculated this fiscal year will probably be Resident Evil 7. They did not say platforms. I hope it's PS4, because Dead Rising 3 looks really cool, but I don't have a PC or an Xbox One that can play it, but I bet it's going to be Xbox One, PC. And it seems like it might be a remake of the first game, but no one really knows.
Yeah, because they're throwing in...
Can I ask a dumb question about Dead Rising?
Shoot.
Absolutely.
What was Dead Rising 3?
Okay, so Dead Rising 1 was the one in the mall.
Right.
Dead Rising 2 was outside of a mall.
Yep.
There was a spinoff of Dead Rising 2, which features Frank West, which I think is like a retelling of the second game. It's this weird thing. Dead Rising 3 looks way more serious. It's a very, like, brown, like, grungy-looking game.
When did it come out?
It was an Xbox...
With the launch.
Xbox One launch title.
Oh, okay. I don't remember anything about it.
Well, it doesn't have Frank West in all these covered wars, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's also coming. We will see. There's other stuff, like the Bethesda press conference supposedly leaked. It seems like there might be a Skyrim remaster and Wolfenstein 2 and Prey 2 and Evil Within 2, but no next Elder Scrolls game, which is the only thing I really care about out of them, because Fallout 4, I tried picking up that game again. That game is not fun at all.
Well, I'm glad I didn't spend $20 on it this last weekend at Toys R Us.
As a Boston boy who wants a really good Boston game, Fallout 4 is tremendously disappointing.
Oh.
I got, like, maybe 5 hours in, and I dropped it.
Screw that.
Yeah.
But anyway. Skyrim
remake, so it'll run at 21 frames per second on PS4.
This is the power of the PS4.
With frame rate drops when dragons appear.
Who knows, with PlayStation Neo, it might go up to 30.
Yes!
As long as you can do mods for this game, because I cannot play that game unless Macho Man Randy Savage is yelling, "Ooh, yeah!" whenever a dragon shows up.
GeoZen and Nintendon point out, Dead Rising 3 was no chop till you drop.
On Wii, I remember that.
Which was like a remake of the first game.
But Wii-ified.
So it seems like... So there might be two remakes of Dead Rising 1 coming.
I thought
which
we didn't
sounds
talk about
fantastic.
That thing.
Was it that bad? Because I always looked at it and I was like,
No,
it was
that bad.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well. Anyways, XSEED, Story of Seasons coming to 3DS, right?
Yeah, Story of Seasons, Trio of Towns, which is based on the Bokujo no Monogatari game that's coming out in Japan 2 weeks from now, and that'll be coming out on 3DS next year sometime. based on their history, probably in March.
Right. They also got Akiba's Beat, which is the successor to Akiba's Trip. It's a series with more games, but Akiba's Trip was the first
maybe
one.
Maybe Akiba's Beat will be a rhythm game spinoff.
It's an action adventure.
I know it is.
I think they're advertising it more as an action RPG, because I happen to know of a RPG-focused website that is explicitly covering it because of that.
Oh.
Mm. Huh. All right. Corpse Party, when's that coming out?
That's soon-ish? Summer sometime. Of course, that game is also a remake of a PSP game.
It's a visual novel, right?
Yeah.
It's a visual novel that has, like, a weird... not a weird visual style, but weird for visual novels. Because it looks kind of like a GBA game, almost.
It's a remake of a game that was originally made in RPG Maker in the mid-90s. Reading to that,
for real?
That makes sense.
I think we killed Zach.
Zach!
I'm here.
Okay. I'm not looking at it.
Anytime
right now.
Anybody mentions RPG Maker, I just laugh.
Well, this will make you happy then, because because apparently they're showing Shantae Half Genie Hero at the XSEED booth.
Nice.
Mm.
I have the demo. I still play it from time to time. It's very good.
XSEED is publishing the physical version of that game.
Yeah. They're shovel knighting it.
When does that come out?
GameStop says...
Looking at August right now.
I think GameStop has the physical coming out on September 27th.
That's still slightly sooner than I thought it would be, because the last game came out, what, like 10, 12 months ago?
Keep in mind that Half Genie Heroes Kickstarter went up in the same month as Mighty No. 9, and this is just about last month or the month before is the first time WayForward said it might come out in August.
So maybe they were developing two Shantae games at the same time, which would be
probably
crazy. But I remember when Shantae 3 came out, this show had existed. Yeah. We'd only done a few episodes, but it
came out.
You know what's funny is that Inti Creates helped with Pirate's Curse, they're helping with Half Genie Hero, and they're helping with Mighty No. 9.
And they've got their Astro Striker Gunvolt 2 coming out in probably by the end of the summer too.
Uh-huh. Alright. And just the thing we wanted to note was that they have more playable games than Nintendo at this E3.
Boom!
And Zach reminded me just before the show that there's still been no Nintendo Direct, despite it being June 7th. And, we were gonna, joke about, there's definitely gonna be no Nintendo Direct before E3, but also tomorrow would be the day that Nintendo would announce a Nintendo Direct if there was one happening before E3.
Now, they've said that there's not going to be an E3 Direct, right? It's just gonna be Treehouse.
Here's the thing. There's not gonna be a Nintendo presentation thing, but they haven't announced that there wasn't going to be. As far as I know, Donald, and you could correct me, Nintendo has never directly said that there would be no Nintendo Direct during E3 week. Although it would be somewhat naive to think there would be.
Right, because the things they've got announced right now, they've got, because they're going into Treehouse Live at the same time that they've traditionally had their digital events the last couple of years, that 9 a.m. Pacific on Tuesday. And then Wednesday they've got something, and then Thursday there's a Pokemon Sun and Moon special presentation close to when they would do them when they've done the previous one. But they've never explicitly they've never said there's going to be a Direct, and we've pretty much assumed that based on they probably want to do these things quarterly. There's a couple of things that need to get cleared up. Maybe they want to do that before the show, or maybe they do it at the show. Who knows?
Yeah, as they were talking about, as we were talking about on last week's Nintendo News Report, Neil brought up the very good point that even though there won't be a Nintendo Direct next week, probably, outside of the Pokemon thing, there will be a lot of news. You'll get a huge, huge press releases worth of Zelda news, I'm sure. You're going to get both the first playable Pokemon demo, not by us, but by Nintendo.
Treehouse.
And the by Treehouse. There's going to be a lot of demos of stuff that's coming out. There's probably going to be a few announcements. There's probably going to be Mother 3, which is going to be a huge, fantastic goodwill move on Nintendo's part. We could find out about Rhythm Heaven, and then we got the Pokemon Direct, and, well, the Pokemon something. And then we'll see. I think we are overdue for a Nintendo Direct unless they reveal a Nintendo Direct's worth of information next week. Which they very well could.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's...
But either way, we're getting...
And again, even if they don't announce anything tomorrow, they could just throw a video up on YouTube saying, here's some things that we're...
Yeah.
Sorry. Here's some things that we're not going to have time to mention at E3, so here you go.
I just want my Picross 3D2 release date and a Bayonetta Amiibo release date.
It's, I bet we will find out about the next wave of Amiibo at E3.
Yeah, they've been weirdly silent about those last three Amiibo. Four?
Because they said, every Smash Amiibo, we're getting one.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't stick them out the same day as the next wave of Splatoon ones, because I'm already out $80 for those.
Oh, shit. Mm. $80? Good God!
Oh, Canada. Yeah,
the bundle, the trio is 40.
Oh, you're getting the recolors? Oh, you whore.
But they got the Marie and the Callie.
No,
and Donald's
Marie and
probably
Callie are fine,
guy.
But the other three, we already own them.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, Donald, what's wrong with
this? I kind of like the alternate colors, and I'm curious. Who knows? Maybe that update that's coming out for Splatoon in a couple of days is going to have support for these new amiibo that gives new challenges. We'll wait. They haven't announced it, but we'll have to wait today.
Yeah.
You know what was a fantastic summer game? Splatoon. Yeah. Just like as I think back on Splatoon. Splatoon was a fucking awesome game.
Kept me busy for about 1 month.
I think it lasted me two. For the level of content it didn't have, it kept me, like... tied to it way longer.
True. I just wish I'd bought it physically.
Yeah. And then if Europe is lucky, we might find out when the next Brain Age is coming over there.
Oh.
Maybe Treehouse will demo Brain Age Concentration.
At this point, why do they bother even keeping that on the release list for Europe? It's toast.
I don't know, but I'm so glad they do. I am so glad.
Except thing is, I think that was my most retweeted tweet in the last 6 months, was saying, oh, by the way, Brain Age, still on the list for Europe.
Did that get triple digits?
No, I think the only thing I've ever gotten triple digits on was pointing out just how bad the original Xbox One DRM was. And that was 3 years ago.
Damn.
Perfect. Okay, we can talk about what we've been playing. We can run through this relatively quickly. I think what we should do is we should have Zach tell us about his game first.
Oh.
Go on to Donald, and then we will close on Mega Man. So, Zachary, tell me about Odin Sphere briefly.
I reviewed Odin Sphere Leaf Thrasher, which is a remake of Odin Sphere for PS2 from 2007. For Invisible Gamer. And I had it for a really long time, probably almost a month before release, which is, it's an, you know, Atlas game.
Standard procedure for Atlas.
Yeah. Really, really good game. It's an action RPG. They've improved the stiff combat from the original by making the combat a lot more like Muramasa. It's got a really cool story conceit. You play through five campaigns, each one featuring a different protagonist, but you're viewing the story, the same story, through different lenses. So the story's really pretty good. The art is phenomenal. It's one of the most gorgeous games you'll ever play. And it was gorgeous on PS2. But it was so gorgeous, the PS2 couldn't actually run the game. I played it on Vita, and I might double dip on the PS4 game, because it must look incredible on a big TV, and it has cross-save.
All right, let me ask you this, Zachary. If I did not love Dragon's Crown, will I probably not love this either?
So, okay, Dragon's Crown is more like a four-player co-op Dungeons & Dragons arcade game, right?
Mm.
This is more like Muramasa. Did you like Muramasa?
Ooh, I don't think I loved Muramasa either.
Okay, then you probably wouldn't love this game because the combat is very similar, and it's very similar kind of progression where you run from room to room, fight a bunch of enemies, collect their loot, go to another room, repeat. I mean, there's leveling up. There's a lot of new mechanics. You gain a bunch of special attacks that you can level up with experience points, and you have skills that unlock when you level up. But it's, of all of Vanillaware's games, it's more similar to Muramasa than it is to the original Odin Sphere.
Okay.
But it's so good looking. There's a demo for PS4 and Vita. You might check it out.
Oh, there is a demo.
There is a demo.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's a good demo. I think it demos all five characters.
Okay. If Giant Bomb does a quick look, I think I'll look at a few minutes of the quick look and decide based on that whether to approach the demo and decide based on that whether to get the game.
There you go. It's really good. I mean, really good.
You know what that game would make? A great PlayStation Plus title.
Well,
that game would be a fantastic PS Plus game. Because yeah. I don't want to spend any money on it.
I mean, it's published by Atlas, so at some point it's probably going to get to the point where you'll be able to get it for basically nothing anyway.
Ooh. I have all the Vanillaware games that have released since Odin Sphere on my Vita. Dragon's Crown, this new Odin Sphere, and Muramasa.
And I think Muramasa and Dragon's Crown have both been PS Plus at some point. So
I'll bet.
We're saying there's a chance.
Muramasa's got a lot of excellent DLC, weirdly enough.
But you like it, Zachary?
I do. I gave it a 9. I didn't give it a 9. They didn't do a number scale. I gave it an A-.
Which is roughly a low 9.
It is, and I gave it an A- because when you play the whole campaign all the way through, like the whole 5 campaigns, by the end of it you're like, it's so long, I keep fighting the same enemies. Take a break between campaigns.
Yeah, Dragon's Crown actually had a similar thing, where it almost looks like a slightly shorter game, until you get into it and you realize, oh wait, it's actually like 20, 30 hours long.
Yeah. Because you beat it, and that's like one third of the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Donald, tell me about your Zero Escape replay.
Yeah, so, to get ready for Zero Time Dilemma at the end of the month, and because I'm waiting for Ninty Senpai to notice me, I pulled out my old copy of 999 this past weekend, and I managed to started on a Friday and beat it on a Saturday. That is still a really good game. It is basically one leveling system away from being the ultimate DS game, given its extensive use of the touchscreen and the fact that there is a Sudoku game that is prominently involved in the plot.
Really?
Yeah.
Stream is dead?
What?
Says live.
I'm watching it live now. It is still live. Okay, anyways, good. That's hopefully. A worst case scenario, there will be an audio version of this podcast, but if the stream is dead, you can't hear me say any of this, so I have no idea why I'm
just
telling
put it in
you.
The chat room.
Okay, Donald, okay, keep talking.
So, basically, for those who don't know, 999 and Virtue's Last Reward, which was a 2012 3DS and Vita game, are a series of visual novels that are basically set up as escape rooms. You're trying to solve this mystery of why am I locked in a chamber with a certain amount of time to escape, and this bracelet I'm wearing that if I do the wrong thing, it will kill me.
So it's like Saw.
The first game more so, because if you break a rule in that game, you explode, and
oh.
And the game there's not a lot of there's still shots, not a lot of video, so the game goes into extremely lurid detail about just what exactly happened to those corpses.
Right.
And getting multiple endings is a key part of it, because you will have to replay the game multiple times to get the true ending and figure out just what the hell is going on. That's most of your playtime, honestly, is that last run through. But thankfully, both games have an option where if you've seen text before, you could take it at about Mach 2.
Oh, good.
So you're not going over the same thing again. And there's some pretty interesting scientific theories that they're talking about in this game, like Ice 9, something that, like, ice that freezes.
Ice 9!
Yeah.
Ooh, that was some,
That's Vonnegut, man. Cat's Cradle.
Yeah.
It was Cat's Cradle. Fuck, I was. It was on like the tip of my tongue, but I didn't want to sound like a moron.
Yeah, love that book.
And, like that, and heavy references to Schrodinger's cat.
Nice.
Can we talk about how crazy of a concept Ice 9 is for a second on this Nintendo World Report at night? The fact that it's this thing that if you put it in water, it takes basically it turns all water into Ice 9.
Water into ice.
All connect water, including the stuff in the grass, including the little bits in the ground, including the stuff in you, and it basically turns the world into an ice
planet. And it doesn't melt unless you're at 96.8 degrees.
That is fantastic.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so the first game is only on DS. There is an iOS version that cuts out all the puzzle sequences, which break up the storyline. Your mileage may vary as to whether or not that's a good thing. Right now I'm playing the sequel, Virtue's Last Reward. I'm doing it on the Vita, because it was a PS Plus game at one point. I think I got it for $10 to have a permanent record of it. It looks better, but I really find that I need the stylus to do those missions, so I'm thinking it's going to play better on the 3DS. Crash bugs from it.
I hate not having a stylus on the Vita. I really do.
I'm actually thinking of if I can find like a couple dollar capacitive stylus.
Ooh.
Looking at those, because I know my father actually got one for his iPad and it works pretty well.
That would have worked real well for Severed, actually.
If you're watching this, and if you have PS Plus, and if you have a Vita, which is a lot of things to ask of someone who's watching a Nintendo World Report podcast at this moment. But if you have all three of those things, you might have a copy of Virtue's Last Reward already, because it was a PS Plus game down the line. The Vita version of that game is fantastic. That game is fantastic. I reviewed it a very long time ago for a different website, and I gave it a 9.5. I also platinumed the game. It is crazy good. It's even good if you haven't played 999.
They do explain some of the stuff in flashback, and the rest of it is in stuff that you can find that you will find if you're going for the platinum. I'm going for the true ending, which to get that you have to get basically have to platinum the game to get the true ending. So this will actually be my first platinum on the Vita.
So I thought. Virtue's Last Reward was more like a anthology spiritual successor to 999. I didn't realize it was a direct sequel.
Yeah, it's a totally different setting, but it does carry some of the themes forward and some of the characters as well. Sort of the biggest change is that instead of having to go back through the initial sequence over and over again every time you restart, they give you a flowchart that you can. So once you get to an ending, you can say, okay, let's double back, let's go over here, and let's pick up from this point, pick a different option, and let's carry on from there. And the way you get all the endings is that you basically have to once you get to the decision point, you have to basically pick every option and follow it to its conclusion. And there's a sequence that sometimes if you do it in an incorrect order, it'll throw up a roadblock and say, come back later.
Interesting.
So,
this game, the third one, comes out at the end of this month.
Yeah.
Finally.
Oh, really? That's quick.
Yeah. Well, because the second game came out in 2012, Virtue's Last Reward did, And,
okay, so it's been a
while.
And
there was a time when Spike Chunsoft, who were the developers, basically Spike had canceled the game. It took a fan outcry to bring it back.
Damn.
So, and I think it took a fan outcry and Axis pointing up a lot of... Because these don't do well in Japan, but they do pretty well for an Axis game in North America and Europe. So there, okay. So that's a lot of the reason why. I am probably going to end up reviewing Zero Time Dilemma, the third game for NWR. I'm hoping so. But, well, the last Axis game I reviewed did not go well.
Oh, T.R. Brody, or T. Brody, right?
Travis, yeah.
Travis Brody.
Travis Brody. Friend of the show, friend of all of us, and also on Nintendo Free Radio.
He was on our E3 show last year, actually.
I remember that.
Fantastic. He is playing Virtue's Last Reward on his Vita right now. So we got someone. We got someone. Yeah.
Good man.
Ooh, and we also have Bushin Ryu Cat, who also has a Vita. Fantastic. Right. But yeah, it's. I think we should close this off with some Mega Man, eh? I am playing Mega Man for the first time ever in my life!
Blows my mind.
Like, Mega Man, here's the thing, I've always wanted to play Mega Man, but I've always been super intimidated because I was scared I wasn't good enough for Mega Man. Like, not like in my own, like, heart, like my soul wasn't good enough. But more that, like, I was afraid I wasn't good enough in video games to play Mega Man, and those are the kind of games that I bet are way worse if you save state them. So I always was too intimidated to actually play them. But, like, this time I'm like, you know, I've beaten three Souls-like games. I am probably good enough
to
at least attempt a Mega Man.
You got good. Mm-hmm. And really, I don't know if it's just because I've played them a lot and sheer repetition over the years, but I don't find Mega Man games hard anymore. At least the classic series.
They certainly get much easier as the series progresses.
Mm.
One is the high difficulty bar.
GeoZen says Mega Man version, not anymore, by the way. So, to talk about the difficulty, I have played through Mega Man 1, through Mega Man 2, and I am very deep into Mega Man 3. I didn't use any save states to, like, basically, like, I didn't use a save state before a boss, and I didn't use it as, like, a checkpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But I did use save states as, like, bookmarks. So, I would finish a stage, and when I'm done playing for the day, I would do a save state then, but I would never reload a save state more than once, and whenever the game gives me consequences, I face them every single time.
Now, you're playing the Legacy Collection, right?
Yes, on 3DS. It was $10 last week, still.
That's where I got this.
That one ended yesterday, but I think it just went up on PS4 for, like, $12. At least that's the price I'm seeing here.
Yeah, it's also, like, $10, at least in the States. That is a fantastic collection on 3DS. For the record, the emulations are absolutely dope. I like the museum database. I like the database because it tells me about some enemies. It, like, it gave me some hints on a couple bosses.
Yeah.
I also enjoy the museum because I like seeing, like, the Japanese box art and stuff. Yes, I am the guy in the cap, Bushin Ryu Cat.
Did you Metal Blade the fuck out of Mega Man 2?
Yeah. No. Aww. I did.
Metal Blade is the win button in Mega Man 2.
I did the quick boomerang.
Oh, really? Okay.
I used that a lot too. That was my replacement for the regular shot. GeoZen also says, "Alex, you are the shy Japanese schoolgirl with the Mega Man as your handsome outgoing upperclassman," which is a statement I would extend to all facets of my life. Anyways, I'd be a bulky ass schoolgirl. I got some broad fucking shoulders, but unfortunately that doesn't fully come through on video. Anyways, talking about the actual Mega Man part itself, the only way I mildly cheated was in Mega Man 1. I utilized that like press pause over and over again glitch.
You've got
fuck
to
the yellow devil.
Yep.
Fuck the Yellow Devil, and then also fuck the last two bosses in that four boss rush at the very end.
The last two Wily forms?
Yeah, well, the Iceman isn't that bad.
Oh, you're talking about when you have to refight all the bosses.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, those always suck.
When I have to refight the last four bosses. I wasted those with them, too. And then also, the other place I cheated was in Mega Man 2 on the Wily boss. I did look up the weaknesses, but also because I thought that was, like, three forms of a boss that I had to beat in one go.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was really scared of doing.
Yeah.
But it turns out you only have to do two forms. And then the spoiler, 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 spoiler.
For 25-year-old game.
Fast forward 10 seconds. The alien, which isn't even an alien, but which, other spoiler. but that final boss is, it's actually two different fights. Mega Man 1 is great.
Nope.
I disagree with you, Zach.
It's awful.
I think it's a great game in its own right. I think Mega Man 2 is better.
Yeah.
And I'm very glad that I played Mega Man 1 before I played Mega Man 2, because I was able to appreciate Mega Man 1
that's
as
true.
A game on its
yeah,
own merits.
Isn't it interesting? I think the most interesting thing that separates those two games is just the aesthetic. Like, Mega Man 1 looks like ass, and then Mega Man 2 looks so much better.
Capcom treated NES games the same way developers treat consoles now. Which is, like, the further along in the NES cycle a Mega Man game was,
better it is.
The vastly superior it looked.
Dude, wait till you get to Mega Man 5. That game looks redonk for an NES game.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait. But
and then it weirdly takes a huge dive at 6.
What Mega Man 1 does that I really appreciate that Mega Man 3 is not doing is that I feel like I have to use every single weapon I'm given by the bosses.
Oh, yeah.
Mega Man 2 does that pretty well, too, but Mega Man 1, I felt like I had to utilize everything at some point.
You don't have as many weapons to choose from in Mega Man 1, because there's only 6 bosses, so I can sort of see where that's coming from, but you will use pretty much everything going through Mega Man 3, even the stupidest weapons get used by the time you beat the game.
Here's what's interesting about Mega Man 3 is that I'm not using, like, any of the sub-weapons on the levels themselves.
Right.
Only on the bosses.
Yes, that's pretty much how it was designed. Now, on these remix dock stages you're on, DockBot stages, you do have to utilize Rush pretty heavily.
We will talk about Mega Man 3 in a second. The only thing I briefly want to say about Mega Man 2 is that that game is effing crazy. Effin and Jeffin and crazy. That game is like what Uncharted 2 was to Uncharted 1. Mega Man 2 is to Mega Man 1. Technically, gameplay-wise, story-wise. The game has an excellent story, by the way.
Intro. One of the best intros in any NES game.
For an NES game? I'm super impressed. The ending keeps going and going and going. But in the way that, like, Metal Slug 3 keeps going and going, where it just keeps getting crazier. Where it's just like, by the way, spoiler alert for Mega Man 2. You start Mega Man 2, there's like 5 levels with a dragon boss opening up the 5
fucking
levels.
Dragon boss!
In a Mega Man game!
Yes!
And then you go through 5 levels where there are actually some unique bosses this time around, other than, like,
A giant Guts Man tank.
I still have trouble with that, with the wall lasers to this day.
And then...
Oh, man, you've got to memorize that
shit. The wall lasers suck. I was actually glad I had an E-Tank for that. And then it keeps going through that, you can get a Guts Man tank, and then you do a boss rush, which is actually surprisingly super fun once you realize how to play off of each of the boss's weaknesses.
Yep.
It's way better than you think it would be going in. And then you go to Wily, where it's the 2 stages on the first, at first, but then Wily turns into a frickin' alien, and then you go to his alien den, and then you fight the Wily alien, and then it turns out that the entire game was a holographic simulation?
No, just the Wily's alien form.
Oh, just the Wily's alien form. Yeah. Which is still crazy. That game was, like, talking about VR, like, 20 years before, 30 years before it actually happened. Anyways, that game is... And then it has, like, a pretty decent-looking ending. Mega Man 3 bothers me. Mega Man 3 is not as good, in my opinion, as either Mega Man 2. The Darkbot
stages kind of blow that game out of the water.
And wait, in a good way or bad way?
Bad way. I hate those Darkbot. The Darkbot shit is shit.
I always...
So what Mega Man...
I tended to skip past that stuff. Like, there was a time when I would just... Whenever I would rent Mega Man 3, it's like, okay, you know what? Screw this. I'm just going right to Wily. And giving myself 9 E-tanks along the way, but that's another story.
Yeah. Really cool Wily fight in 3.
Don't spoil it, because I'm actually very excited. Mega Man 3, what I don't like about Mega Man 3 is that the game is, like, trickier and not in, like, a fun way. Like the levels themselves are somehow easier and also kind of a pain in the ass to maneuver, mostly because there are, like, half as many checkpoints.
Oh, yeah. And some of the stages are just kind of overly long. Like, there's a spot in Shadow Man stage where you just, you know, keep having to jump on pillars and those floaty down things come down. That's like 3 minutes of doing that.
And then Gemini
Man stage
sucks.
With the fucking tadpoles blocking your way in every room drives me crazy.
And then there's also the it might be Snake Man. Where
Snake Man has some of the best music in that whole series.
Snake Man's fantastic, but it also has that cloud area towards the end of it, which isn't any good. And then there's also, I forget what the level is, it might be Gemini, or it might be someone else, where it's that, like, that penguin, like those Gemini. Penguins, and then out of the mouth, more penguins are flying out, and it's just constant. But at the same time, the Gemini stage is super easy to abuse. To recover your health.
Those tadpoles.
But the boss fights are pretty good. And then I just beat the original 8 bosses. And now I'm doing the 4 or initial 4 or something.
Yeah, Docman remixes.
Docman remixes, which I don't like. Nope. I've only played one. I've only played one of them so far, but I haven't actually beaten it yet. It was the last thing I touched before getting on this podcast, but there are no checkpoints and the stages are harder.
Yeah, you have to. Only checkpoint, I think, is after you beat, because you get 2 Mega Man 2 bosses per level, and you only get a checkpoint after you beat one of them.
What I don't like about those Mega Man 2 bosses is that the Mega Man 3 weapons have no obvious Mega Man 2 analog. So, for example, what do you use against Woodman in Mega Man 3? I don't even remember what it is in this game. Might be Shadow Blade, but I don't remember.
I think it was Needle.
What was the weapon weakness to Woodman in Mega Man 2?
Heatman.
Are you positive?
Fireman.
No, I know.
You charge up the Heatman attack, and then you just basically make him explode in 2 hits.
Do you want to hear something super embarrassing?
You didn't know you could charge up?
Yeah. And I beat Mega Man 2. I ended up having to use... The way I cheesed that fight was I stayed on the left side of the screen, and I kept dodging the leaf-like shield, because those take a lot of damage, but then just taking the hit of the falling leaf, and then just spamming, like, metal blades at it. Which, like, he was the hardest one.
That's good.
You know who sucks? Airman sucks in Mega Man 2.
Airman blows.
He's a pain in the ass. And, like, you only have, like, 3 or 4 hits with your wood shield anyways.
You know what else sucks? Quick Man's stage with those laser beams.
Because,
to
this day, I always forget at least one thing.
You know who sucks until you figure out the trick? Quick Man.
Yeah, then you realize
Flash Freeze that
Now, my question is, if you've had to use the Flash Stopper to get through the Quickman stage, do you have anything left? Can you still take half his health with it?
Well, no, what I did was... Well, I was able to do that on the... Not in the regular level, I think I'd use an energy tank for that. But, like, on the boss rush, I would take half his health every single time. Hell yeah. And it feels so good, too. Because then you can just beat him with the Mega Buster.
Yeah, I think in Quickman's case, the Mega Buster takes 2 units of his health away.
Yeah. Is it, like, does Mega Man 3, like, super suck getting through those stages?
Yep.
Is it, like, doable, though? If I've done everything I've done so far, I'll probably be able to do it eventually.
Yes, it's just frustrating and tedious.
Yeah, every Mega Man game so far has had its frustrating moments. But that's also, weirdly, sometimes the funnest part of Mega Man, I guess?
Don't worry, by the time 4 and 5 come around, you'll have not just a Mega Buster, but those games hand out 1-ups like it's going out of style.
You know who hands out energy tanks like it's going out of style? Mega Man 3.
Oh no, 4, four oh, yeah. is worse for handing out energy tanks. Yeah, there's one stage where you can get 3 in one level.
Right.
Does Mega Man 4 do that thing where when you get a game over, it doesn't take away the energy tanks you've earned on that level, so you can just keep stacking them?
Yeah, it does that, and you can revisit stages in that game, too. That's the first game to let you do that.
You know what's so funny? Is up through playing Mega Man 3, I thought they were, like, super challenging, like, pretty fun games that, like, I'm looking forward to seeing what else they have to share, but I'm generally glad I had the experience. Now that I'm talking to other people who also like Mega Man, I realize that I might actually love these games. These games actually do scratch the Dark Souls itch for me, where it's very challenging, but also every death is a learning experience in a super addicting, but also, like... really enjoyable, fulfilling way.
Okay, so once you're done with these 6 games, you need to play Mutant Mud Super Challenge.
Well,
which is the Dark Souls of platformers.
I will. I will if you remind me.
Okay.
But what I gotta do is, I gotta play Mega Man 1 through 6, I gotta play 7, 8, 9, 10. I have 9 and 10 through PS Plus.
9 so 7... is super hard.
Great. Is that the hardest one?
9 is the Dark Souls of Mega Man games.
Yes.
Great.
If you thought the Yellow Devil was bad, wait till you meet the Purple Devil.
Fantastic. And then after that, I'm going to buy a Mega Man amiibo, because I really want a Mega Man amiibo now.
And you can unlock challenges that are specific to the Mega Man amiibo.
I gotta play the challenges in this game, or at least attempt the challenges, at least some of the fun ones.
One of them is how fast can you beat the Yellow Devil?
Great.
I remember seeing Mega Man 8, I think, is on sale this week, or is it 9 and 10 on PSN?
It's 9 and 10, and it's like $250.
And Legends 2 is $250, by the way, on PSN right now.
Legends 2.
Keep in mind that Legends 2 are not real Mega Man games.
Are they good games, Zach?
No.
Great, I'm not going to play them.
Okay.
It's, like, normally I wouldn't necessarily trust you calling something shit, because you call a lot of things shit.
I do.
But because you're a big Mega Man boy, I'll trust you on this.
Okay. You can also pretty easily skip Mega Man 8.
I want to play all 10.
Okay.
Like, you also said I should skip Mega Man 1, and I don't regret playing Mega Man 1 at all, so I think I'm going to play Mega Man 8 and then mildly regret it, because it'll be the 8th Mega Man game I had played this summer.
Can I suggest one thing? Play Mega Man 8 drunk.
Yeah. Drunk?
Yes!
Because that's the only way that the extra things that they've added to the Mega Man formula in 8 are any good.
Well, I got a lot of beer in here. I have some whiskey, too, if I want to prop it.
He has a soccer ball and a little girl's voice.
And then I'm going to play all 10 Mega Man games, and then obviously I have to play Mighty No. 9, and then I'll play... I couldn't even say that with a straight face.
Okay, so what's going to come first? Alex beating all the core Mega Man games, or Mighty No. 9 coming out?
When does it come out?
First.
I'm going to get through probably at least Mega Man 4 by the time that comes
June
out.
21st? I'll believe it when I see it.
Maybe 6 Mega Man games.
I'm awaiting a delay.
I'm going to beat all 10 Mega Man games, and then I'm going to take a break, and then I will take a look at Mega Man X. Because I cannot play, like, 16 Mega Man games in a row.
Have you not played Mega Man X either?
He hasn't played a single.
No, I'm...
Dude!
I'm a proper Mega Man version. My cherry got popped, son.
Your cherry got popped with a gangbang.
Oh!
Okay,
Donald Terrio, I got the vapors.
That's my way of saying we probably should wrap this up, because it's... We
gotta end this show right now!
Oh my stars and daughters!
Patreon.com/NWR. This show is an audio format because of our patrons. We love you all, but we also love our patrons. Patreon.com/NWR. Donald Terry is on Twitter at Donald Mick, at NFR Podcast, Nintendo Free Radio. Zach's on Twitter at ZMiller1902. I'm on Twitter, or also check out his Invisible Gamer review for Odin's Fury.
I don't know how to say it either. I just say Leaf Thrasher.
Okay, fantastic. I'm on Twitter at CULAFIAKE. That's Kulafia. Have a good night, everybody. Bye bye.
Bye bye now.